Radio Prague News.
The police have been looking into a matter of possible corruption related to a recent presidential pardon. The former CEO of the power giant ČEZ has admitted past links to one of the firm's biggest suppliers, Škoda Plzeň. A pedestrian was struck and killed by falling debris in Olomouc on Monday when part of a building collapsed. The Czech police have been looking into a matter of possible corruption in a recent presidential pardon. The spokesman for the police presidium, Jaroslav Ibehe, confirmed on Monday that investigators from the anti-corruption unit were currently gathering information and would later decide whether to launch criminal proceedings. The case is related to the pardon of former policewoman Radka Kadlecová, who served at the Foreigners Police Branch in Karlovy Vary. A court found her guilty of accepting bribes in return for residency permits and sentenced her to prison. The Czech weekly Respekt reports, though, that after suffering a mental breakdown ahead of starting her term, she confided in two people, one of them a doctor, that her pardon had been arranged. She also alleged that bribes had been accepted by the president's aides. Respekt has suggested that an influential relative may also have played a role. Ms. Kadlecová was pardoned in 2009. The president's spokesman, Ragim Ochvat, meanwhile reacted on Monday by categorically denying the former policewoman's story. He said that the system for assessing pardon requests prevented such abuse. Martin Roman, the former CEO of the Czech state-controlled energy producer ČEZ, has admitted past links to one of the firm's major suppliers, the engineering company Škoda Plzeň, the daily Hospodářské noviny reports. Mr. Roman told the paper he had had links to the firm Appian Machinery, the owner of Škoda Plzeň, since 2006, through the company's Artwick Investments and the California Trust. The two are shareholders in Appian. Roman, who stepped down as ČEZ's chief executive officer last month, is suspected of possible conflict of interest, as Škoda Plzeň supplied ČEZ with machinery worth billions. The connection was first reported last week by the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, and the matter is being looked into by the anti-corruption police. In his defense, Mr. Roman told the daily he left the companies connected to Appian immediately after he took over as ČEZ CEO. The partial collapse of a building in Olomouc on Monday claimed the life of a 78-year-old pedestrian who was killed on the sidewalk after being struck by falling debris. Nine people were evacuated from inside the building but were unhurt. The tragedy unfolded around 10 a.m. on what is one of Olomouc's busiest streets. Besides claiming the woman's life, the falling debris also brought down overhead tram cables. The incident is being investigated by the police, who have not yet confirmed whether the site was undergoing renovation work. A Czech court has handed a 3-year suspended sentence to a Swiss national found guilty of high-speed wrong-way driving on the D10 highway between Liberec and the Czech capital. The motorist, who caused 6 accidents in which 9 vehicles crashed, no one was seriously hurt, admitted to have taken methamphetamine while driving. He had faced between 3 to 8 years behind bars. Besides receiving a suspended sentence, the defendant has been banned from driving for 6 years. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up, the British playwright Tom Stoppard is among 13 people recognised as promoting the good name of the Czech nation abroad. We have a report on the annual Gratiest Agate Awards coming up. Not doing a bad job herself spreading the word is the Czech tennis star Petra Kvitová, who picked up her 5th title of the season at the weekend. Stay tuned for that and the rest of the sport. And in one-on-one, Ian Willoughby speaks to Rachel Kanarovsky, editor of the Czech version of In Style magazine, on the fashion scene here in the Czech Republic. Maybe he'll even pick up a few hints as well. More on that and sound check coming up. You're tuned to Radio Prague. Since 1997, the Czech Foreign Ministry has been honouring those who promote the good name of the Czech Republic abroad with the annual Gratias Agate Awards. Last Friday, on October the 14th, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg handed out the awards to 13 personalities from around the globe to thank them for their outstanding work. Pavla Horáková has more.
The atmosphere was emotional at the majestic Chernin Palace, home to the Foreign Ministry, as the laureates, many in their 70s and 80s, received the awards for furthering bilateral relations between the Czech Republic and their respective countries. Among this year's laureates were the Czech-born British composer and pianist Karel Janovický, promoter of Czech classical music, the Czech-born ceramist and painter Mirek Smíšek from New Zealand, whose work was seen worldwide in the Lord of the Rings film trilogy, the Serbian translator and diplomat Aleksandar Ilić, the art historian Jana Klaveri from France, and Hugo Marom, a Czech-born Israeli military pilot. Raymond J. Snockhouse is the Honorary Consul General of the Czech Republic in Texas. For more than two decades, he has been working to promote Czech heritage and culture in the United States, cooperating with the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center in LaGrange and a number of other Czech-American organizations in Texas. He told me he was honored and humbled by the award.
It's a result of working with a lot of beautiful people that all have helped me. I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And everybody has just been so good to work with. And we've established very good relationships. They all like to come to Texas, and we love for them to come to Texas. Because Texas is still kind of it's a frontier state, but we have over a million Czech people in Texas. People don't generally know that, but Texas is very, very, very heavy, populated with good Czech people. So I will bring home this award and try to earn the honor that goes with it.
Only 12 of the 13 laureates were present at Friday's ceremony, as the Czech-born British playwright Tom Stoppard received the award 2 days earlier in London from Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg. Like some of the other recipients, Sir Tom was born in Czechoslovakia, but his family left the country in 1939 to escape Nazi persecution. He maintained close ties with his homeland, supporting Czech dissidents and authors during the communist era.
Pavlo Horáková with that report on the annual Grantiest Agate Awards. You're tuned to Radio Prague, Sport Now, and with news of a tricky Euro 2012 draw for the Czechs and another win for Petra Kvitová, here's Jan Richter.
Following last week's away win against Lithuania, the Czech national football side finished second in the Euro 2012 qualification Group I, 11 points behind group winner Spain. That gave the Czechs a place in the playoffs to reach the European Championships. Thursday's draw in Krakow determined that to qualify, they will need to beat Montenegro over two legs. The Czechs are optimistic about their chances of booking a place in the final tournament, as they could have been drawn against tougher opponents like Turkey. František Komňacký is an assistant to the national team coach.
The draw was certainly good to us. Having to play Turkey would have been much more difficult, but the fact that Montenegro managed to finish ahead of Switzerland and Wales in their group suggests they also are strong, and we would be naive to underestimate the opponent.
For their part, the Montenegrins also seemed happy to land the Czech Republic as their rival in the playoffs, as they avoided Portugal. The first leg of the playoffs is scheduled in Prague in mid-November, while the second will take place a week later in Montenegro. Meanwhile, action continued in the Czech top football division, where after 10 out of 30 rounds, the last season's runners-up Sparta Prague have built up an 8-point lead, despite a 3-0 defeat by Liberec in their latest match. Saturday's home defeat was Sparta's first loss of the season. Sparta defender Tomáš Zápotočný said the international break did his team no good at all.
I think we might have been affected by the international break. Other clubs had a chance to train while many of our players were with their national sides, and there were only 10 of us here. But that's no excuse. We played horribly, while Liberec were great.
Sparta Prague with 27 points lead the league table, followed by Jablonec in second and Liberec in third place. The Czech participant in this year's Champions League, Viktoria Plzeň, moved up to fourth place after they beat Slovácko 3-1 on Friday, less than a week before they play FC Barcelona in Spain. Moving on to tennis now, Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitová beat Slovakia's Dominika Cibulková 6-4, 6-1 in the final of the Linz WTA tournament on Sunday, thereby winning her fifth title of the season. Top seed Kvitová broke the Slovak serve six times, wrapping up the match in under 90 minutes. The Linz title is Kvitová's fifth this year and a much-needed boost ahead of the WTA championships in Istanbul later this month. Petra Kvitová will also be the Czech team's number one for the upcoming Fed Cup final against Russia, scheduled for the 5th and 6th of November in Moscow. Besides her, team captain Petr Pála nominated Lucie Šafářová, Lucie Hradecká and Květa Peškejová for the match. The Czechs will be attempting to win the Fed Cup title for the first time in 23 years. In 1988, the Czechoslovak team, including Jana Novotná and Helena Suková, beat the Soviet Union. In the sport of cyclocross, the reigning world champion Zdeněk Štybar came in third at the opening round of the World Cup that was held in Plzeň on Saturday. Štybar went ahead right after the start and built up lead along with Kevin Pauls from Belgium. However, another Belgian, Sven Nys, soon caught up with them and powered by Štybar in the final dash to claim victory. The Czech racer was clearly disappointed.
I knew even before the start that I was probably not in the right condition to win, but I felt better and better in the race, so I thought I could do it. Around halfway through, I saw that Sven was not doing so well, but he did a great job and showed all of us how to finish.
Several racers, including winner Sven Nys, complained about the start of the race when a Czech TV cameraman was standing in their way at the very moment the race began. However, their protests were rejected by the race judges. And finally, the Czech top hockey division last week saw controversy between Slavia Prague and the fans of Kometa Brno. In anticipation of large crowds of Kometa supporters, Slavia raised ticket prices for Friday's game. But Kometa fans declared a boycott of the match and many of them stayed in Brno. In response to the criticism, Slavia's marketing manager Antonín Blažek said the raise in price was solely motivated by higher costs. And when Kometa's fans stop behaving like pigs, Mr. Blažek said, Slavia won't have to up the prices of tickets. In past games between Slavia and Kometa, up to 9,000 fans arrived in Prague to support their team. But in the end, it was disappointment for Slavia fans as Kometa eventually annihilated Slavia 9-5.
Like pigs, yes, well, they don't pull their punches very much in the hockey world these days, do they? That was Jan Richter with Monday's Sport. Time now on Radio Prague for One on One, and Ian Willoughby is in conversation with Rachel Kanarovsky, editor of the Czech version of In Style magazine. And I should tell you, this programme was first broadcast in November 2010. Rachel Kanarovsky has the kind of job that must make her the absolute envy of her peers. At only 30, she's the editor-in-chief of the Czech version of In Style, a major international women's magazine. At the magazine's offices, we discussed shopping in Prague and the Czech take on style. But first, Rachel Kanarovsky described the unlikely-sounding way in which the opportunity to enter the business arose and how she made the most of that chance. After graduating in political science in her native US, she came to the Czech Republic in 2003 as an au pair, simply wanting to taste another culture.
I realized after living with a Czech family for 5 months that I was still a tourist after that time. I really enjoyed living in Europe, and I decided to move to Prague because I had been living in the Czech countryside. So I moved to Prague, and I taught English like every American did at that time. And it got me by, and it allowed me to stay in Europe longer. But it wasn't what I studied. It wasn't what I really wanted to do. So I started telling everyone, hey, look, if I can't find something else to do that I really love and I see will move me forward in my life, then I'm going to move back to America. The expat community in Prague is very small. And when someone says that they're going to leave, everyone kind of comes up with all sorts of opportunities that you never heard about before. And there was a man living upstairs in the building that I was in, and he said, well, my wife is going to be working for a fashion magazine. You should meet her. So I met the wife, and we bonded over a really shared love of fashion, and she started to look at the way that I was shopping and what I was choosing and mixing together with clothing-wise. And she said, well, you should come and be the fashion editor at the new magazine that we're starting. And I started trying to style. She said, you know, just find a photographer, style some photo shoots, and see what happens.
Sorry to interrupt you, but what was that magazine now you're talking about? What was the title?
The magazine is a German magazine. It's called Joy. So I started styling some photo shoots with a friend of mine who happened to be my flatmate as well. He was getting into photography, and I just started going to the stores and asking if I could borrow some clothes, and we were calling the modeling agencies, and Prague has a lot of models. And we would put together these photo shoots during the week in between our English lessons.
That sounds like the Czech dream as opposed to the American dream. Also, it sounds like something that's more likely to have happened in the early 90s than in the 2000s.
Really, do you think so? I mean, I know there was a lot of opportunity here in the early 90s. I unfortunately was still too young to experience that. I was in high school, and I hear about the good old days in Prague. But I think that there's still such great opportunity in Czech Republic, and I would assume in a lot of the Central and Eastern European countries, because they're very hungry for any outside perspective when it comes to fashion. So if you really work hard, I think you can really make something for yourself.
To digress for a second, do you have any Slavic blood in you? Because your surname sounds Slavic.
My father's family is Polish and Hungarian, although I've heard the Hungarian name, which is Gavelik, is actually Slovak. So I do have some Eastern European blood, but no one in my family ever spoke any foreign language to me when I was living in America.
And how is your Czech now after all these years here? And do you use Czech in a day-to-day way in your work?
I have a complicated relationship with the language. I didn't start learning much Czech until I started styling, because when I lived with the family, they wanted me only to speak English. I was an au pair, but essentially they were using me as a way to put English in their daily life. I learned children's vocabulary at that point. And when I moved to Prague and was teaching English, I would learn some things from my students, but it wasn't until I was styling that I actually had to go into stores and speak to people and try to understand what they were saying to me. So that's when I really started to learn Czech, but I have this complicated situation where if I have enough money to have Czech classes, I don't have enough time to go. And when I have a lot of time, I don't tend to have any money. So I am learning every day as much as I can through the situations at work. And I do use Czech every day. But the majority language that we speak here in our office is English.
2 years ago, the Czech version of InStyle went on sale. Were you the editor-in-chief from the beginning? And how have you found working at the magazine?
Yes, I was the editor-in-chief from the beginning of the project. It was really exciting because after Joy, I went on to work at different launches in the Czech Republic, including Marie Claire. And I was always only in the fashion department, working in some planning, but really not working on the total look and feel of the magazine. And the job opportunity to InStyle gave me the chance to really get a deeper understanding of what it takes to build a magazine, and it's been a really incredible experience. Any magazine launch is an incredibly difficult time, and for the first year, year and a half, I didn't sleep very much. The days were easily 12 or 14-hour days, and it gets easier with every month. And the feedback that we get from our readers and the happiness and enjoyment that we see that they're getting from the magazine that we're giving them every month really makes all the difference. You feel wonderful about all those long hours that you put in at the beginning of the project and all the long hours that the team continues to put into making a fashion magazine. It's so difficult, but it gets easier every month.
As well as being a fashion editor and fashion writer, you're a fashion consumer. How do you find shopping here in Prague?
Well, it's very different than shopping in London or in Paris or in New York. And I would be lying if I told you that I don't do most of my shopping abroad. There's less selection here, but it's constantly improving. More and more stores are opening in Prague. The prices are generally higher than they are in other countries, but that's getting better too, because with the internet and with more e-shopping, we can spend our money through Net-a-Porter and have clothing from the designer brand sent here to us. So the prices in Prague are forced to be more competitive than they used to be.
And is there a great speed now between when some garment first appears on the catwalk to when it's in the high street and on the high street here?
Well, that's the same worldwide. I mean, we have H&M here, we have Zara here. They're two of the most famous companies at copying what's on the runway right away. That's no different in Prague. I mean, you're getting the same products which are in other H&Ms and other Zaras all around the world. But we have fantastic Czech designers here as well. We have the designer Klára Nadimlinská. She's really wonderful. I wish she had distribution in other countries, but definitely whenever people are in Prague, they should definitely visit her boutique.
How well dressed are Czech people, not just your readers, but in general? When you walk down the street, say in the city center, how well do you think people are dressed here?
People from Czech Republic tend to be less swayed by the trends and more interested in dressing conservatively. There's a Czech version of elegance, which is easily visible on the street. Some foreigners will come here and will say, wow, people here are so well-dressed, because they tend to wear, you know, nice blazers, maybe a bit of jewelry, a nice blouse. I miss seeing people take more fashion risks, but that's changing also. The bloggers, and blogging has not been big in Czech Republic until recently, the fashion bloggers are so stylish, and I'm really excited to see what kind of change they can make in the Czech perception of what fashion is and what's stylish and what's cool and how they want to dress.
Do you think Czechs are perhaps lacking in confidence a bit, and maybe a little bit less willing to take fashion risks than maybe your compatriots?
I think there are a lot of people everywhere, all around the world, who are concerned about looking silly. And I can't comment fairly on how confident anyone is, because I don't know them personally. But people in Prague tend to be less interested in standing out. Sporty fashion labels are some of the most popular. I mean, you will see people dress very casually in a lot of settings. And can you fault someone for wanting to be comfortable? I mean, the people who are dressing ultra fashionably, the people who are on the most famous daily what she was wearing, what he was wearing websites, they might not be the most comfortable people in those shoes or those clothes.
In that case, we could all just wear pajamas, though, and slippers.
That's true. That's true. And that's what fashion is about. And if we all were wearing pajamas and slippers, there wouldn't be a big reason to read fashion magazines, would there? I really love the opportunity that fashion gives to express yourself. And that doesn't have anything to do with comfort.
Rachel Kanarovsky was talking to my colleague Ian Willoughby, and he's now off to buy a skinny latte and watch Sex in the City, no doubt. Anyway, this is Radio Prague. Time to learn Czech through music. Soundcheck this week presented by Jan Wellinger.
Nevím, jak bylo dřív, ale dnes je to tak, že na každý verš je jedna fráze a na každého moudrého jeden hlupák. A tak žije svět v rovnováze.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, our long-running language series in which you can learn Czech words or sayings through song lyrics. In today's edition, we'll hear part of a song by the great Czech folk singer Jaromír Nohavica. The word to look out for is also the name of the song, hlupáci, the plural of hlupák, the Czech equivalent of fool or dummy. If you say somebody is hloupý, you're basically saying they're not too bright. The light's on, but nobody's home.
A na každého moudrého jeden hlupák, a tak žije svět v rovnováze.
In the song, Nohavica sings, za každého moudrého jednoho hlupáka. For every wise person, there's one fool. Certainly all of us at one time or another have come across someone who is basically clueless, dumb and dumber, really foolish.
The successful Czech 1990s film The Butners by Petr Zelenka took the whole concept of the fool to new levels in a series of scenes entitled Pitomci, Idiots, in which the actor Rudolf Hrušinský plays a dummy of monumental proportions. His only talent in life? Laying on the railway tracks once in a while and spitting on the train's identification number as it passes overhead. You might say he was a hlupák prvního řádu, a blockhead of the first order, or a fool of the first water.
A na každého moudrého jeden hlupák, a tak žije svět v rovnováze. Tohle pravidlo hlupákům žluč obrací, neboť poznat jsou zblízka i zdáli.
Of course, even those who are normally bright can be put in a situational disadvantage where they come across as foolish, but there are others who never have any idea what's really going on. One way of saying it in Czech might be to say nemá šajna, he hasn't a clue, or neví, která bije, implying that someone is so dumb they can't even tell what time it is.
A na každého moudrého jeden hlupák, a tak žije svět v rovnováze. Tohle pravidlo hlupákům žluč obrací, neboť poznat jsou zblízka i zdáli. Všichni křičí na ně, hlupáci, hlupáci, a ta ostuda hlupáky pálí.
Hlupák does not only have to be used as a scathingly derisive term if you use the diminutive, hlupáček, which means silly billy. That's something a girl may tell her boyfriend when he's gone out of his way to set something right. Running across the city in the pouring rain and getting into a series of misadventures, for example, just to tell her he loves her. You've all experienced similar moments, if not in real life, at least in films. Ty seš můj malý hlupáček, she says as she ruffles his hair. You're my little fool. Regarding idiots, let's not forget that there are those who also know, well, how to play the fool, but in reality are far from stupid. In Czech, you would say a person like that, gelá hlupého, only plays the fool, usually to gain some kind of advantage, to lie doggo. Getting out of an unpleasant task at home or work might be one example. Playing the fool, power gurus agree, can be a fairly sly means of catching others on the back foot, realizing only too late they fell for a trick, and as a result were badly outsmarted.
Nevím, jak bylo dřív, ale dnes je to tak, že na každý verš je jedna fráze a na každého moudrého jeden hlupák. A tak žije svět v rovnováze. Tohle pravidlo hlupákům žluč obrací, neboť poznat jsou zblízka i zdáli. Všichni křičí na ně, hlupáci, hlupáci, a ta ostuda hlupáky pálí. Aby hlupák se nemusel červenat víc, aby každý se mohl něčím chválit.
The music of Jahomír Nohavica, ending soundcheck with Jan Wellinger for today, and indeed ending our broadcast here on Radio Prague as well. So on a really beautiful autumn day here in the Czech capital, from me, Peter Smith, until next time, bye-bye.